Thank you for joining us for our third quarter 2021 results call. As usual, our Chief Executive Officer, Christian Sewing, will speak first, followed by our Chief Financial Officer, James von Moltke. The presentation, as always, is available to download in the Investor Relations section of our website, db.com. Before we get started, let me just remind you that the presentation contains forward-looking statements, which may not develop as we currently expect. We therefore ask you to take notice of the precautionary warning at the end of our materials. With that, let me hand over to Christian.
Thank you, Jana. A warm welcome from me as well. It's a pleasure to be discussing our third quarter 2021 results with you today. We are now two-thirds through our transformation journey, and we have continued to deliver against our milestones. We see clear evidence of progress in our businesses. The first basis of this progress is our disciplined execution. We continue to be absolutely focused on cost-saving measures. Adjusted costs, excluding transformation charges, are once again down year on year. These transformation charges will help drive reductions in our expenses in future quarters. And we have now recognized 90% of our total anticipated transformation-related effects of almost 8 billion euros since we began this journey. This has resulted in significant progress in our transformation. We promised to self-finance this, and we have delivered. These efforts are being recognized by our stakeholders in the third quarter. Both Moody's and Fitch upgraded our credit ratings and retained our positive outlook. We have maintained a strong capital ratio, a strong balance sheet, and sound liquidity, despite certain challenges such as regulatory inflation and the impact of a global pandemic. Our capital release unit is outperforming against our 2022 goals, which we outlined at our last investor deep dive. Risk-weighted assets are down to 30 billion euros, and the unit continues to reduce costs. And finally, the result is profitability. In all three quarters of this year, we have delivered significant year-on-year profit growth while simultaneously keeping up the pace of transformation. Refocusing on core business is paying off. Revenues have grown as broad-based business performance offsets the effect of normalizing capital markets. And we saw that in the third quarter. Pre-tax profit of 554 million euros grew by 15%, despite transformation charges of nearly 600 million euros. And on an adjusted basis, profit before tax would have been up by 39% to 1.2 billion euros. Now let me take you through the highlights of what we have achieved in the 9 months of this year on slide two. Our performance over these past 9 months shows that our 2022 targets and ambitions are well within reach. Revenues of 19.5 billion euros for the first 9 months of 2021 fully support our trajectory to our 2022 revenue goals. We have reduced adjusted costs, excluding transformation charges, by roughly 4% year-on-year to 14.4 billion euros, despite 2021 being an investment year. This means we delivered positive operating leverage at both the group and core bank level over the past 9 months. We reduced our cost-income ratio from 87% to 82% year-on-year, despite the additional transformation charges recognized in the third quarter. Provisions for credit losses declined 83% year-on-year to 261 million euros, or 8 basis points of average loans. Return on tangible equity for the core bank is 7.5% for the past 9 months, and above 9% on an adjusted basis, already in line with next year's target. This sets us on a clear path to our group target of 8% return on tangible equity in 2022. Now let me turn to the progress we have made executing on our strategy across our core business on slide three. The corporate bank continues to execute on its growth strategies as evidenced by increasing loans and new partnerships, including MasterCard, Fiserv, and better payments. 94 billion euros of deposits are within the scope of charging agreements and contributed 96 million euros in revenues to our third quarter results. The investment bank is focused on front-to-back efficiency process improvements, such as the FIC re-engineering program. The results in this quarter again confirm our decision to refocus our investment bank on its core strengths, and we delivered a strong performance despite normalization in the market. We have now seen year-on-year revenue growth in origination and advisory for seven consecutive quarters, and our third quarter FIC results demonstrate our market share gains are sustainable. The private bank continued to grow net new business across assets under management and loans. This year-to-date business growth substantially outperformed our full-year target of 30 billion euros. In the third quarter, we announced the sale of DB Financial Advisors in Italy, which supports our international private bank divisional strategy as well as our regional strategy. In asset management, assets under management stand at a record level of 880 billion euros, driven by strong net inflows of 12 billion euros this quarter, with more than 40% coming from ESG products, where we continue to work towards leadership in the field. We continue to undertake investments in growth initiatives and platform transformation to support our performance. In short, the dynamics in all four core businesses show that our clients are supportive of our business model and believe in our capabilities. All four core businesses grew return on tangible equity and improved the cost-income ratio over the first 9 months of 2021. This relentless focus on transformation has driven a steady improvement in underlying profitability, which can be seen on slide 4. In the core bank, we delivered a 70% year-on-year increase in our adjusted profit before tax in the last 12 months. Once again, all four core businesses contributed and are either in line with or ahead of their plans so far. In the capital release unit, we reduced losses by nearly half compared to a year ago. As we reduce leverage exposure and risk-weighted assets, we continue to remain committed to minimizing the P&L impact of the portfolio reduction. As we steadily put transformation effects behind us and reduce the cost of deleveraging in the capital release unit, more of the earnings power of our core business is reflected in the bottom line. This supports our aim to deliver stable and sustainable returns at the group level. A key driver for this is our sustainable revenue performance, which I will now turn to on slide 5. Revenues excluding specific items in the core bank for the third quarter stand at 6 billion euros, up 1% year on year. Business growth has offset the normalization of the capital markets environment, which impacted fixed income trading as expected. This quarter still bears the impact of foregone revenues as a result of the BGH ruling of 96 million euros, similar to the second quarter. We expect this impact to taper off considerably in the next quarter, as we now have written consents in place for two-thirds of the affected accounts. Revenues in the investment bank are 2.2 billion euros, down only 6% from a very strong third quarter in 2020. Both our corporate bank and private bank continued to offset interest rate headwinds with continued deposit repricing and business growth. We see continuing underlying momentum in these businesses. And we see strong underlying growth in lending. The loan portfolio is currently at 456 billion euros, up 5% from the same quarter last year. With the period of post-pandemic market normalization behind us, we now expect the current growth rate to remain in the coming quarters. Asset management delivered revenue growth for yet another quarter, driven by strong management fees. This is the sixth consecutive quarter of net inflows. Core bank revenues were 25 billion euros in the last 12 months, an 11% increase from 2019, which is in line with our current 2022 goal. This reflects the sustainability of our revenues as client engagement continues to improve, particularly following our recent rating upgrades. Now let me turn to costs on slide 6. On a 12-month basis, we reduced non-interest expenses by 14% to 21 billion euros from 2019. This includes the higher-than-expected contributions to the Single Resolution Fund and the German Deposit Protection Scheme. We continue to focus on managing our controllable cost base to offset volume-driven expenses and investments in controls, and have identified additional cost-saving measures. These measures come with around 700 million euros of incremental transformation-related effects, including technology-related charges that we recognized in the third quarter. We are committed to putting almost all our anticipated transformation effects behind us by the end of 2021. And with that in mind, we reaffirm our 2022 target for a cost-income ratio of 70%. Let me now update you on our progress on sustainability on slide 7. After 9 months, we are already ahead of our full-year 2021 target for total volumes of ESG financing and investment. Our volumes since the start of 2020 now stand at 125 billion euros, versus a full-year ambition of 100 billion euros, excluding DWS. This puts us well on track to meet or exceed our year-end 2023 target of 200 billion euros. In addition, we were a book runner on 4 of the 6 largest ESG-related bond issues in the quarter. This month, we co-led the EU's inaugural green bond, raising 12 billion euros, the largest ever green bond today. We also completed our first ever green repo agreement, the first green Formosa bond, and built out our offering and sustainability-linked loans to German Mittelstand companies. ESG is the topic which continues to drive client engagement, allowing us not only to innovate products, but to also provide advisory services underlying our clear client-centric approach. And the private bank, we rolled out the ESG advisory concept to more than 100 branches, exceeding our 2021 ambitions, and our international private bank is enhancing product offering via new funds and growing green deposits and lending. We are pleased to participate in the upcoming COP26 summit in Glasgow next week, and we are looking forward to meeting clients and other stakeholders striving for change. Before I hand over to James, let me now summarize our progress this quarter on slide 8. As we said at the Investor Deep Dive in December, our focus remains on executing our transformation agenda while supporting our clients. We have executed on the strategies within our refocused core businesses, and we saw material improvements in core bank profitability and returns. We are delivering resilient revenues as business growth offsets the normalization of markets, which we anticipated. Our core businesses are performing in line with or ahead of our expectations, and that positions us to deliver on our revenue ambitions next year. We intensified our transformation efforts and took further steps to drive efficiencies. We aim to book most of the remaining transformation-related effects by the end of the year, which will help us to deliver on our 2022 cost-income ratio target. We are committed to technology and control investments and to maintain our momentum on resolving open regulatory and control matters. The hierarchy of our 2022 priority remains unchanged, and we are on track to meet our targets of an 8% post-tax return on tangible equity and 70% cost-income ratio. We also remain committed to beginning the distribution of the 5 billion euros of capital from 2022 onwards. We are setting up a firm foundation to not only meet our 2022 ambitions, but to also position Deutsche Bank for future growth. And we look forward to discussing this with you at our next Investor Deep Dive in March. With that, let me now hand over to James.
Thank you, Christian. Let me start with a summary of our financial performance for the quarter compared to the prior year on slide 9. We generated a profit before tax of 554 million euros, or 1.2 billion euros, on an adjusted basis. Total revenues for the group were 6 billion euros, up 2% versus the third quarter 2020. Net interest income this quarter was roughly 2.8 billion euros, up approximately 114 million euros on the second quarter. The increase was driven by the growth in our loan book and higher revenues from our securities portfolio in the quarter, along with a decrease in the cost of our deposit funding. Net interest margin remains broadly flat at a rounded 1.2%, as progress on deposit charging and reduced surplus liquidity offset the ongoing pressure from interest rates. As I've mentioned before, we see these interest rate pressures abating, with private bank headwinds set to halve next year and corporate bank headwinds being substantially eliminated. Recent interest rate moves provide a more favorable outlook for our businesses relative to the conservative baseline on which our previous plans were built. For 2022, we now see a tailwind in the region of 150 million euros relative to our earlier planning. As the moves are predominantly in the long end of the curve, the impacts become cumulatively larger in later years, reaching well over 500 million euros by 2025 from the current observable forward curve expectations relative to our plan baseline in the fourth quarter last year. Turning to costs, non-interest expenses were up 4% year on year. This quarter includes 583 million euros of transformation charges, up from 104 million euros in the prior year. Our provision for credit losses stood at 117 million euros, or 10 basis points of average loans for the quarter. We said at our second quarter results, and then again in September, that we see a relatively benign credit environment. These conditions have persisted, and we now see scope for improvement from our previous guidance of 15 basis points of loans for the full year 2021. In line with the guidance we provided with our second quarter results, we did see a reduction in our Common Equity Tier 1 ratio to 13% in the quarter. Tangible book value per share was €24.46, up 40 cents on the quarter, or 5% in the year to date. The tax rate for the quarter was 41%. Let's now turn to page 10 to briefly look at our nine-month performance. Revenues for the first 9 months were 19.5 billion euros, up 5% year on year. At the same time, we delivered a 4% reduction of our adjusted cost base, excluding transformation charges, to 14.6 billion euros and reduced our cost income ratio from 87% to 82%. The improved macroeconomic environment led to an 83% reduction in provision for credit losses, and our profit before tax of 3.3 billion euros increased nearly fourfold compared to 2020. The tax rate for the first 9 months was 34%. Let's now turn to the core bank's performance for the quarter and the first 9 months of the year on slide 11. Core bank revenues were 6.1 billion euros for the quarter, up 2% on the prior year quarter. Non-interest expenses were up 5% for the quarter, mainly driven by additional transformation charges, while adjusted costs excluding these charges were down 1%. This takes our profit before tax to 898 million euros, and the adjusted profit before tax to 1.5 billion euros, up 23% on the prior year. Our adjusted post-tax return on tangible equity for the quarter slightly increased by 60 basis points from last year to 7.3%. Looking at the results on a first nine-month basis, our revenues in the core bank were 19.5 billion euros, up 4% compared to the same period in 2020. Non-interest expenses increased 2% year-on-year due to the additional transformation charges, and adjusted costs excluding transformation charges were flat. Our cost-income ratio was 76% for the first 9 months, or 70% excluding transformation charges. And as Christian mentioned, our return on tangible equity for the core bank was 7.5% for the past 9 months and 9.4% on an adjusted basis, in line with our target for 2022. Let's now turn to costs on slide 12. In the third quarter, group adjusted costs, excluding transformation charges, continued to decrease year on year by 3%. we saw lower compensation and benefit costs year-on-year, reflecting workforce changes, as well as movements in variable compensation compared to the prior year. IT costs were broadly flat, as a decrease in hardware expenses was offset by higher software and service costs. The decline in other costs was driven by lower operational losses, occupancy costs, and banking services. Our third quarter adjusted costs, excluding transformation charges and reimbursements for Prime Finance, were 4.6 billion euros. Transformation charges were 583 million euros, which I will come back to in a moment. As Christian mentioned earlier, we will continue to manage all the components we can control as we remain committed to the cost-income ratio target of 70% for 2022. Let's now move to slide 13 to discuss transformation-related effects. As mentioned in our recent guidance, further transformation measures will result in incremental effects of around 700 million euros, bringing the total expected impact of transformation-related effects to 8.8 billion euros. This quarter, we booked 583 million euros of transformation charges. Roughly 450 million euros of these charges relate to a contract settlement and software impairments, principally triggered by our migration to the cloud. We have now booked a total of 90% of transformation-related charges, and we expect to book most of the remaining charges by the end of this year. Let's now turn to provision for credit losses on slide 14. Our Stage 3 provision at 199 million euros is down from 408 million euros in the previous year, reflecting an overall benign credit environment. On a quarterly basis, the Stage 3 provision increase of 88 million euros was mainly driven by the implementation of EBA guidelines on definition of default, leading to ECL model refinements for IFRS 9, resulting in transfers to Stage 3, predominantly in the private bank. Stage 3 provisions remain stable across other businesses. Overall, Stage 3 movements were offset by 82 million euros of net releases in our Stage 1 and 2 provisions, including an adjustment of existing management overlays due to the stabilizing macroeconomic environment. As mentioned, we believe provisions will be below 15 basis points of average loans for 2021. Let me now turn to capital on slide 15. Our core equity Tier 1 ratio decreased by 17 basis points from 13.2 to 13% over the quarter. In line with our earlier guidance, this reduction includes around 20 basis points of burden from regulatory changes, notably the implementation of the EBA guideline on definition of default, partly offset by a reduction in our regulatory multiplier in market risk RWA. A slight offsetting improvement of the CET1 ratio came from a reduction in operational risk RWA and the net impact of de-risking in the capital release unit versus a small RWA increase in credit and market risk, reflecting client-related activity. With the 20 basis points RWA impact this quarter, we have now absorbed almost all regulatory-driven RWA inflation until the expected implementation of the final framework of Basel III in 2025. In upcoming quarters, we expect to see business-as-usual model updates that cumulatively are expected to be capital ratio neutral. CET1 capital was fairly stable in the quarter and now includes a deduction for common share dividends of 641 million euros to date. We still expect to end the year with a CET1 ratio of around 13%. As always, our capital outlook is subject to timing of pending regulatory decisions. However, the expected net effect of these decisions in the next quarter is now positive. Our fully loaded leverage ratio was 4.8%, unchanged from the prior quarter. Leverage exposure, excluding FX effects, decreased by 6 billion euros quarter on quarter, reflecting continued deleveraging in our capital release unit, partially offset by growth in net loans and commitments. Our pro forma fully loaded leverage ratio, including certain ECB cash balances, was 4.4% and on track to meet our 2022 goal based on the original definition by year end. With that, let's now turn to performance in our businesses, starting with the corporate bank on slide 17. Revenues in the third quarter were just over 1.25 billion euros, essentially flat year on year, but improved excluding episodic items. In the current quarter, the impact of episodic items was approximately 60 million euros lower than in the prior year. Excluding these effects, underlying corporate bank revenues grew slightly as business initiatives and deposit repricing more than offset interest rate headwinds of approximately 40 million euros year on year. At the end of the third quarter, charging agreements were in place on approximately 94 billion euros of deposits, which produced revenues of nearly 100 million euros in the quarter. The corporate bank grew loans by 5 billion euros year on year, mostly in trade finance within corporate treasury services. We continue to expect the combined effects of the moderation of interest rate headwinds based on current interest rate curves, the increasing quarterly contribution of deposit repricing, as well as business momentum and growth initiatives to support our revenue outlook for subsequent quarters. And as previously mentioned, we expect our 2021 revenues to remain essentially flat compared to the prior year. Non-interest expenses decreased by 5%, mainly driven by lower restructuring litigation charges, while adjusted costs excluding transformation charges improved moderately. Provision for credit losses was a 10 million euro release in the quarter, driven by continued low impairments compared to provisions of 41 million euros in the prior year quarter. Profit before tax in the corporate bank was 292 million euros, increasing by 57% year on year, while adjusted profit before tax rose by 33% to 317 million euros. This equates to a 7.8% reported and an 8.6% adjusted post-tax return on tangible equity, and is the highest quarterly profit before tax since the launch of Deutsche Bank's transformation in 2019. Turning to revenues by business segment in the third quarter on slide 18. Corporate Treasury Services revenues of 755 million euros grew by 1% year on year. Charging agreements and other business initiatives more than offset interest rate headwinds and lower episodic items. Institutional Client Services revenues of 326 million euros grew by 2%, as solid underlying business growth was partly offset by lower episodic items. Business banking revenues of 174 million euros were 6% lower year on year, as business growth and expanded charging agreements were more than offset by interest rate headwinds. We are continuing to progress the client-by-client process of entering into charging agreements for the predominantly euro-denominated, lower ticket size deposits in this area, and expect further positive effects in the coming quarters. I'll now turn to the investment bank on slide 19. Revenues for the third quarter of 2021 decreased by 6%, or 5% excluding specific items. Favorable performance in our financing and origination and advisory businesses was more than offset by lower revenue in our trading businesses. Compared to the third quarter of 2019, investment bank revenues are up 34%, with both FIC and origination and advisory significantly higher. Non-interest expenses were essentially flat year over year, as were adjusted costs excluding transformation charges, producing a cost-income ratio of 60%. The investment bank generated a pre-tax profit of 3.4 billion euros and a return on tangible equity of 13.5% in the first 9 months of the year, both material increases on the prior year period. Our loan balances increased, both quarter and quarter and year on year, primarily driven by higher loan originations across the financing businesses. Leverage exposure was higher, reflecting increased loan origination and lending commitments. The year-on-year increase in risk-weighted assets predominantly reflects the impact of regulatory inflation. Provision for credit losses of 37 million euros, or 19 basis points of average loans, were down year-on-year. The continued low level of provisions benefited from recovery of COVID-19-related impairments. Turning to revenues by business segment on slide 20, revenues in FIC sales and trading decreased by 12% year on year. Strong performance in financing was offset by lower revenue in the trading businesses. Credit trading, core rates, and FX revenues saw solid client activity, which was offset by a normalization of market conditions and low volatility. Revenues in emerging markets were higher across all regions, with continued year-on-year growth in both CEMEA and Latin America. Revenues in origination and advisory were significantly higher versus prior year, with revenue growth across the franchise. Debt origination revenues were higher. Strong performance in leveraged debt capital markets continued, more than offsetting a reduction in investment grade related revenues as issuance levels normalized. ESG continues to be a focus area. We are top five on a fee basis in global ESG-related debt products, a 60 basis point market share gain compared with the full year 2020, based on Dealogic data, in a market which continues to grow. Equity origination revenues were significantly higher year on year, predominantly driven by de-SPAC activity and market share gains in IPOs, particularly in EMEA. Significantly higher advisory revenues reflected continued growth in M&A activity. Deutsche Bank advised on nearly twice the number of deals in the third quarter compared to the same period last year. Turning to the private bank on slide 21. Revenues excluding specific items were just under 2 billion euros in the quarter, down 4% year on year, but up 1% if adjusted for 94 million euros of foregone revenues from the BGH ruling we mentioned earlier. Continued revenue momentum in investment products and mortgages offset interest rate headwinds of approximately 90 million euros year on year. As indicated, we expect these headwinds to be substantially lower next year. Adjusted costs, excluding transformation charges, were flat year on year. Cumulative savings of around 4% in the private bank direct cost base were partly offset by incremental costs for deposit protection schemes, as well as increases in technology spend and internal service cost allocations. Provisions for credit losses were 15 basis points of average loans, or 92 million euros, and reduced by 47% year on year, benefiting from a release of a management overlay for uncertainties related to moratoria in Italy and Spain, tight risk discipline, and a high-quality loan book. The aforementioned implementation of definition of default model refinements impacted staging, but was neutral to CLPs in aggregate. With this, the private bank reported a pre-tax profit of 158 million euros. Adjusted for the aforementioned impact from the BGH ruling, specific revenue items, as well as transformation-related effects of 64 million euros, the private bank would have achieved a profit before tax of 276 million euros in the quarter. On this basis, adjusted post-tax return on tangible equity was 6% in the quarter and 7% in the first 9 months of the year. Business volumes grew 9 billion euros in the quarter, with 6 billion euros of inflows in assets under management and 3 billion euros of net new client loans. With this, the private bank attracted 38 billion euros of net new business volumes after 9 months, exceeding our full-year target of more than 30 billion euros. Turning to revenues by segment on slide 22. Revenues in the Private Bank Germany would have been up 1% year on year if adjusted for the temporary impact from the BGH ruling. Continued headwinds from deposit margin compression were compensated by growth in loan revenues and fee income from investment products. The business originated net new client loans of 3 billion euros, mainly in mortgages, and net inflows in investment products of 2 billion euros in the quarter. In the International Private Bank, net revenues increased by 6%, or 1% if adjusted for specific items. The business attracted net inflows in investment products of 3 billion euros. Growth was especially pronounced in Germany and Italy. Private banking and wealth management revenues increased by 9%, or 2% excluding specific items and FX translation, as investment products and loans grew, supported by previous hiring of relationship managers. Personal banking revenues decreased by 2% year on year as business growth and investments only partly compensated for deposit margin compression. As you will have seen in their results, DWS had another successful quarter, as shown on slide 23. To remind you, the asset management segment on this slide includes certain items that are not part of the DWS standalone financials. Revenues grew by 17% versus the prior year, primarily due to a strong increase in management fees of 85 million euros from improvements in equity markets and six consecutive quarters of net inflows. Non-interest expenses increased by 58 million euros, or 16%, with adjusted costs excluding transformation charges up 17%. This reflects higher compensation costs, including variable compensation, higher asset servicing costs due to the increase in assets under management, as well as investments in growth initiatives. The divisional cost-income ratio remains stable at 63%. Profit before tax of €193 million in the quarter increased by 18% over the same period last year, driven by record assets under management, resulting in higher revenues. Adjusted for transformation charges and restructuring and severance expenses, profit before tax increased by 16% year-on-year to €198 million. Assets under management of €880 billion have grown by €21 billion in the quarter, driven by net inflows and the positive impact of FX translation. Net flows in the quarter were €12 billion, with inflows across all three product pillars, active, passive, and alternatives. The business attracted €5 billion of flows into ESG products during the quarter, demonstrating continued momentum in this area. Turning to Corporate and Other on slide 24. Corporate and Other reported a pre-tax loss of €605 million in the quarter versus a pre-tax loss of €393 million in the prior year quarter. The greater loss was driven by higher transformation-related charges of €495 million, which were not passed on to the divisions and are captured in the other line. In aggregate, these transformation charges should lower our group-adjusted costs by around €150 million per year from 2022. Funding and liquidity charges increased slightly in the quarter compared to the prior year period. Consistent with our prior guidance, funding and liquidity charges are expected to remain at around €250 million in 2021. The year-on-year improvement in valuation and timing differences was driven principally by a positive contribution from cross-currency funding structures and interest rate basis effects, as well as non-recurring one-off events. We can now turn to the Capital Release Unit on slide 25. The Capital Release Unit recorded a loss before tax of €344 million in the quarter, a significant improvement on the prior year quarter. Negative revenues in the quarter were driven by funding, risk management, and de-risking impacts that were partly offset by positive revenues from Prime Finance cost reimbursement. Adjusted costs excluding transformation charges declined by 27% versus the prior year quarter, reflecting lower service cost allocations and lower compensation and non-compensation costs. We continue to make great strides in portfolio reduction, taking advantage of favorable market conditions to exit a number of aged or concentrated positions. We also intensified the pace of the Prime Finance transition in the quarter and transferred a number of large client relationships. By the end of October, we expect to have transferred about two-thirds of client balances. Taken together, this led to a €10 billion reduction in leverage exposure in the quarter and a €2 billion reduction in risk-weighted assets, including operational risk. At the end of the third quarter, we recorded Capital Release Unit RWA of €30 billion, including €22 billion of operational risk RWA. Since the second quarter of 2019, the division has reduced leverage exposure by 76%, or €188 billion, and RWA by 53%, or €34 billion. We've now achieved our 2022 target for RWA and expect to be at or ahead of our 2022 target for leverage exposure by year-end 2021. This includes completing the transition of our Prime Finance platform. We expect this transition to release over €20 billion of incremental leverage exposure in the fourth quarter this year. For the remainder of the year, we expect negative revenues in the Capital Release Unit, and we are on track to hit the cost reduction targets we set out at the last investor deep dive. Turning finally to the outlook on slide 26, we see continued momentum towards our 2022 revenue ambitions, given the resilience and growth in our core businesses. The credit environment remains supportive, and we expect provisions of below 15 basis points of average loans for the full year based on our current views. We expect macroeconomic growth to slow in 2022 from the exceptionally strong levels this year and CLP levels to partially normalize. Our credit portfolio quality remains strong, and we are well positioned to manage emerging risks, including supply chain disruptions and potential policy tightening. We're focused on the cost measures we have underway, and by year-end, we expect to have booked the majority of our transformation-related effects in what has been an investment year, supporting our 70% cost-income ratio target for 2022. As I have said before, we expect to end the year with a CET1 ratio of around 13%, above our target of 12.5%, despite booking almost all of our estimated €8.8 billion of transformation-related effects and absorbing substantially all of the regulatory-driven inflation prior to Basel III final framework implementation. On the leverage ratio, we feel confident we are on track to finish the year around 4.5%, based on the original definition of leverage exposure, that is, including all central bank balances. The CET1 capital calculation reflects a common share dividend deduction of over €600 million for possible future distributions from the nine-month 2021 earnings under the standard ECB rules. This starts us on a clear path to return €5 billion of capital from 2022 over time. With that, let me hand back to Ioana, and we look forward to your questions.